Guten Morgen, my name is Stanley Schubert and here are this week's announcements. This Friday and Saturday, our own Lawrence Stahl will be presenting a series on biblical creation. Friday session begins at 7:30 and ends at 9 p.m. Saturday morning will begin at 9 a.m. and end at 1 p.m. You can RSVP to Lawrence by emailing think@dollhub.com or fill out the connection card today and write creation. Thanks to the feedback received last week, the date for the upcoming women's retreat has changed. Signups with more details will happen soon, but if you didn't have an opportunity to show your interest last week, be sure to let Star Hansen know that you like to attend. You'll find her after service or simply fill out that handy-dandy connection card and mark women's, and Star will connect with you. There will be a limited number of spots this year. We are gathering at a special retreat location in a home nestled in a beautiful woodsy location. We have almost filled two tables at next Saturday night's Acres of Diamonds event. If you have not yet purchased a ticket and would like to be included in an adventure table, sign up at the back of the sanctuary or fill out that connection card and make mark Acres. Cost is $45 per ticket. Susan will let you know how to pay once she purchased the table tickets. Look what great job I did. Well, a lot of credit goes to Susan, the scriptwriter. But it was fun and easy and I did it. So if you're a member here at Adventure and think you'd like to try your hand at Stardom in an upcoming video announcement, contact Nick. You can fill out a connection card and write announcement or email nick@adventuredeval.com. Those are this week's announcements. As usual, you'll find even more information in the bulletin you received as you came in this morning. If you're visiting Adventure, we'd love to hear from you. You fill out a connection card in the bulletin. Fill it out and drop it in the box at the back. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you so much for listening and have a great Sunday. We'll see you next week.
Cinderella?
It cost you nothing. It was my mother's old dress, you see, and I took it up myself.
Ooh la! Cinderella at the ball. No one wants a servant for a bride.
After all I've done.
I don't want to ruin anything. I don't even want to meet the prince.
Oh, and you won't. Because there's no question if you're going.
But all of the maidens of the land are invited by order of the king.
It is the king I'm thinking of. It would be an insult to the royal personage to take you to the palace dressed in these old rags.
Rags? This was my mother's.
Oh. Sorry to have to tell you, but your mother's taste was questionable. This thing is so old-fashioned, it's practically falling to pieces.
The shoulder's frayed.
Oh, it's falling to bits.
And this, it's a ridiculous old-fashioned joke.
How could you?
How could I otherwise? I will not have anyone associate my daughters with you. It would ruin their prospects to be seen arriving with a ragged servant girl. Because that is what you are. And that is what you will always be. Now mark my words. You shall not go to the ball.
Now that's a heavy way to start a message. I understand. But if you're coming this morning and you weren't here last week, maybe you're visiting or you're out of town, this is part two of a message, and so I want to catch you up on where we're at. We're in a series right now called Who Are We as Adventure Church. My name's Jeff, and I'm one of the pastors here, so that's who I am. But we're talking about, as a church family, what are our core values? And we're going to go through seven values that we've identified that make us who we are from Scripture. And those are core values that anything you come to at Adventure Church, you should experience these things, and we want to grow in these more and more. So first we covered walking with God, and that was the first 2 weeks of this series. And the question that went with that is, do my life and priorities align with Scripture? That's the kind of the challenge question that we ask. And a life of walking with God is an intimate relationship with Him where you can hear His voice, where you can bring anything to Him, and He can speak into your life, and you can have that close walk and guidance from Him. Now we're talking about unique identity, and last week was our first message on that, and we took a look at what Scripture tells us about who we are. first, to start with the foundation. And we learn that we're image bearers, that we're children of God, and that we are part of the body of Christ. And those are truths from God's word about who we are, okay? But we left kind of a big gap between once upon a time and happily ever after. We talked about how some stories are timeless because they relate to the things of our lives that are true. And we talked about the story of Cinderella, and we took a look at Cinderella's story from the beginning. And last week was a lot of kind of happy, cheery clips about the beginning of her life as a young girl and her discovering that she had a place and a role to fill in the world, and a significant role. And she had specific giftings. Mostly her mother called out in her kindness and her courage and said, "You'll need these things to get through the trials of life." And she knew that she belonged to her mother and father, and she was a beloved child. And that's where we left off last week. But between that once upon a time and a happily ever after, there's a whole story unfolding, and that's what we're living in right now. And it's what unfolds between those two lines that tends to define what we think about ourselves and our identity. And so it wouldn't be fair for us to not consider, as do most good stories, the fact that we have enemies to who we are and to our identity. And so this morning we're going to be looking at the main enemies that come in and try to steal our understanding of, not, they can't steal our identity in Christ. If you have come to Jesus, you've been born again, you've been born of the Spirit, and you are now a child of God. But what the enemy can do is he can erode your understanding of that truth and your willingness to walk it out and live in it in your life. And so we're going to look at some of the enemies of that this morning. And we're going to continue to follow Cinderella's story as well. So the first enemy that we want to look at this morning is the devil, because that's a very clear enemy that Scripture lays out for us. And one of the most devastating ways that he comes against our identity specifically is he interprets the circumstances of our lives.
Ella's great comfort were the letters that Father would send from his travels. The weeks away lengthened to months, but every day would bring his thoughts from some distant part.
It's the mail coach.
Until late one afternoon.
Farmer John?
Miss Ella, it's your father, miss. He took ill on the road. He's passed on, miss. He's gone. To the end, he spoke only of you, miss, and your mother. I was to give you this.
But what about my lace?
My parasol?
Can't you see? None of that matters. We're ruined. How will we live?
Been very difficult for you.
One of the most devastating things about the circumstances that happened in our life is not the circumstance, but the interpretation that we receive and the understanding of why we feel something happened, whether it was a loss, whether it was the situation we were born into, whether it was how we've been treated by others through our life. We get these interpretations and these understandings of, well, this is why this happened to you, okay? And we go to different places with that circumstance when it happens, like the stepmother, who's, we're all ruined. Now that was our source of income, and now everything's ruined, or the stepsisters with waiting for their gifts to come back. There's these understandings or interpretations that come from different sources, but one of the places they come from is the enemy. And this verse we looked at last week as highlighting that Jesus has come that we would have an abundant life. And we talked about an abundant life coming from truth, okay? Because if we have truth, we have freedom. And so standing on the truth of who we are is really going to produce that abundant life. And it doesn't mean we're not going to have trials and we're not going to have to get through hard things. And we'll even see from Scripture here this morning how those things still will come. But abundant life is living in the truth. But it's almost easy to miss this because of the glory of the second half of this sentence, to miss what Jesus is communicating with us here. That the thief does come to steal, kill, and destroy. And one of those things he comes to steal, kill, and destroy is your understanding of your unique identity. You're locked in as a child of God. So he's not going to steal your identity, but he can keep you from living in the truth of it. We're going to look at a verse in Peter right now that Peter also gives us some teaching on how the enemy works. And before we just read through it, and it's probably a familiar verse to all of you, think of the context of the author and who's writing. Okay, inspired by the Holy Spirit, Peter is writing this verse, and think about his life and what he's been through as he comes to this point of writing this letter. He's walked with Jesus in person, and he's been told who he is by Jesus, a unique identity that he has and a role and a purpose that he'll play. He's denied that he knows Jesus out of fear and stepped away, and then he's walked with Christ into a restoration of who he is and a restoration of his identity. And so from those life experiences, he's able to share this with us. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Now, Peter's speaking to a church that's being persecuted and going through all kinds of trials, and he's saying, remember, your brothers and sisters are going through these things all around the world for their faith. And the key here is stand firm in the faith, okay, in the truth, and then look at the heart of God to restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. And that's the goal of where God wants to bring you in spite of what the enemy wants to do. When I was a young boy, probably 7, 8, 9, somewhere in there, I used to take my chickens to the Evergreen State Fair in 4-H. And I'd show them there, and we'd spend, like, our 4-H group would spend the week there at the fair, and it was really fun. Well, I also had a pet rabbit named Fufu. Little bunny Fufu, okay? And I loved my rabbit. And the way my chicken coop was set up, the hutch, the rabbit hutch was kind of in the chicken coop, and they were all together. And I maybe was a little bit like Cinderella's imagination with talking to the animals, and they could talk back. And, you know, I was really close to my pets. So when I went, one of the times I went to the fair with my chickens, Fufu died. My rabbit died while I was at the fair. And my conclusion as an 8-year-old boy was Fufu died of a broken heart because I had left him, and I took all of his chicken friends, and he thought he was abandoned. You know, my parents were taking care of him and making sure he was fed and everything, so he didn't die from starvation. He just died. And, you know, for us looking back, it's like, you know, the rabbit just died and it's okay. It wasn't because, but when you're in that place, you have to interpret what happened. And the interpretation I landed on, I don't know, maybe that was the enemy steering me that direction, or it was my own course of thought that I landed on. He died because he was so sad that he thought I had left him for a week. You know, he didn't think I was coming back. And I just thought of this story actually this morning. I had not planned to share it as part of this message, but it came to me this morning. And what also came to me is I remember as a child, and it would have been right in that age range, I had a really difficult time going to like spend the night at friend's house or doing anything that was away from home because if my family was at home. I could go places with my family, but I never wanted to be away from them because I was always fearful that something was going to happen to them while I was gone, or they were going to do something fun and I wouldn't be a part of it with them. I was going to miss out in some way. Now, I'm putting that all together. The point is I can walk with God in that and say, where did that come from? And I'm glad to say in that instance, you know, I don't still struggle with that fear. Okay, I can go away from my family and come back. But I don't know how much of that stemmed out of that. But there was an interpretation that I made or that was given to me as a child that just changed my trajectory a little bit, and then you continue on that course. And a lot of who we are or even our behavior can come out of those interpretations. So that's kind of high level some of what the enemy can do. And really the goal this morning is to hit some of these enemies of your identity and then look at what's next. What does a journey look like to gain some of that back? Next one we want to look at this morning is the world. Because we live in the context of a broken world, we're going to be affected by that. It's going to affect how we relate to other people and how they relate to us. And the things that draw us in this world away from God, those things drive us to treat each other in very horrible ways.
I thought breakfast was ready.
It is, madam. I'm only mending the fire.
Oh, future, could we not be called until the work is done?
As you wish.
Ella, what's that on your face?
Madam?
It's ash from the fireplace.
Do clean yourself up.
You'll get cinders in our tea.
I've got a new name for her. Cinder
wench. I didn't dare to look so dirty. Oh, dirty Ella.
Cinderella. That's what we'll call you.
Oh, girls, you're too clever. Who's this for? Is there someone we've forgotten?
It's my place.
Oh, it seems too much to expect you to prepare breakfast, serve it, and still sit with us. Wouldn't you prefer to eat when all the work is done, Ella? Or should I say Cinderella?
Cinderella. Names have power, like magic spells. And of a sudden, it seemed to her that her stepmother and stepsisters had indeed transformed her into merely a creature of ash and toil.
That we live in was created to be a place that reflected God, that we could look to creation and see God in creation, and we could look to each other and see the image and likeness of God in one another. But when that fell, when man turned to sin, the system was broken. And now the things driving man and woman oftentimes are not of God. And so you see, for Cinderella's story, the stepmother was driven by her fear of provision. So she fired the whole household of workers and servants and made Cinderella do it because she wouldn't have to pay her and then they could get by financially. And she had jealousy over Cinderella and her kindness and her beauty. And that drove her to treat Cinderella like a monster, like a creature of ash. And in your story, in my story, you can think maybe of situations where people have treated you in ways that were driven by a desire for the world and the things that the world offers. Or just as well, you can think of ways that you've treated others and your motivations were driven by those things. James does a great job of teaching on this and really just opens up a lot of wisdom in what's really going on. See how he relates all of that junk to a love for the world. So what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you can't have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. And so he ties that back into the things of the world. Now, are there things of this world that we can love that are good and that are pleasures that are right? I think so. Yes, I don't think we're called to self-denial at all times and no pleasure and no enjoying this creation that God's put around us. That's not the God that we serve. But when we're driven by what's going to serve our purposes and our desires that are not aligned with God, we will step on people to get there. And we've all been stepped on at different places in our lives, and we've done some stepping on ourselves. And so this is a look at how has the world sent messages to me about who I am and left me in a place that's, again, somewhere outside of image bearer, child of God, and part of the body of Christ, a critical part of the body of Christ. If you're somewhere short of that in your understanding and how you live your life, then maybe the world has affected you in some way in that, and it's worth a second look. One more area that we want to look at this morning is looking at the last enemy that we're going to cover this morning, which is you. And when I say you, I don't mean the true you, the identity that we've identified from God's word. I'm talking about the you that acts out of that sinful nature. Sinful nature has been defeated, but we can still choose to walk in it. And sometimes we do walk in it. And so there may be things that we're doing in our life, even right now, or that we've done, that leave us in a place of feeling like we're exempt from this truth that we see in God's word. One of the places I want to look at to illustrate that is King David in Scripture. Now, he was an incredible man. And when you think about his qualities and just the identity that God spoke into him, what phrase do you think of that goes with that when you think of David? Mighty. Man after God's own heart. Yeah. So he was given that title. I mean, that was God looked on him and said, now this is a man after my own heart. I'm going to make him king. He removed Saul and he made him king because he was a man after his own heart. Paul brings that back up in the New Testament. After removing Saul, he made David their king. He testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. And we know some of David's story, and we know that at one point, we get this story. At least this is the beginning of it. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. And the way that story unfolds is he remained in Jerusalem and he fell into sin. And he had succumbed to lust. He committed adultery. And then he arranged for his mistress's husband to be put in the front lines of battle so that he would be killed, and had him killed. And then he married Bathsheba. This is David, the man after God's own heart. And so we read these stories as, you know, they're in our, you know, children's storybooks, and maybe they don't put that one in there, or they kind of, you know, gloss over it or make it really. And then David did something bad, and the prophet came to him and said, don't do that. But this is real stuff. This is, God called him a man after his own heart. So was God wrong when he said that? David had to wrestle with this. Was God wrong when he called me a man after his own heart? Because that's one option. Or the other option is he was right and I have stepped outside of the truth and I'm living something other than who I am. And that brings an incredible amount of hope if that one's true to all of us. Because that means whatever you think you are right now, if it doesn't line up with a child of God, an image bearer, and a part of the body of Christ, you might be wrong. God might be right. And there might be a journey that you can take to realign yourselves with that truth. And that's what we value at Adventure Church. We say there is a journey back to that. We say God is right about who you are. And if you want to read the rest of that story, you can read Psalm 51, because it's basically David expressing some of his journey back to that place of believing what God says about him and standing in that truth. And it contained a confession, a recognition of guilt of what he'd done. He didn't get to that place until the prophet came to him. I mean, he got the news that Uriah was killed in the battle, and he's just like, well, this happened, you know, encouraged his men, this happens in battle, you know, some die on one side and some on another, go out and keep fighting. I mean, he's just like, wake up, David. And it took the prophet, it took God coming and convicting him for him to break. And then you get the result of Psalm 51 where he confesses his guilt. He asks for God's forgiveness. He receives God's forgiveness. All these steps are critical. And then he asks God to restore him to his purpose, which is to lead people into righteous living again. So at some point, he was able to say, no, what God said about me is true. And I have grossly stepped out of line of what God says about me and believes about me. I'm getting back in line again. And that was a repentance and a journey. I kind of walked through that in the study for this week, too. I really recommend that to go through this study. You'll read the story of David falling into sin. And then you'll read and kind of work through Psalm 51 and what that looks like. So this morning, what we want to encourage as part of this cultural value that we have, this culture point of unique identity, is to recognize that there is a journey of life, and that journey takes hits to your identity and believing it. With Cinderella, I'm not going to show the kind of the closing clip with that, but I recommend you see the movie, because I think Disney did a really good job with this one of outlining this journey, because she had to come to a place in that end scene of saying, I got to step out with all the magic, all the help of the fairy godmother, and present myself. And this guy might laugh at me, but I've got to show who I know I really am, despite all the lies that she'd received, and we just watched a few of them. And then in the end, she also had to come to a place of forgiveness and forgiving those who had spoken those things into her life. And they cover all that. It's a great movie. And she walks through that. And so that's critical. I want to take some time right now to look at somebody who's been at Adventure, a member here, for some time now, and see how this journey has affected their life.
So have you ever seen a dahlia tuber? It's a root. It's a brown, dry-looking root, and they're usually kind of knotted and dirty and not very pretty at all. And I feel like that's, when I came to Adventure, it's really the identity I had for myself, just worth not much, and that my heart was dirty and ugly and full of inadequacies. So when we first came to Adventure, we started at just the right time. Adventure, we started on day one, the first day that the doors opened, and and it was such a different message than what we were used to, that it gave us the freedom to be real and even discuss with each other, hey, I guess maybe we've been had a kind of a facade up, and that we were only kidding ourselves. And so we kind of just emerged right into adventure, and there was so much going on at the time. It was new and fresh and so much excitement, and diving right into story and our value and how God sees us. And I kept hearing people talk about getting a name and how God's identity and what he thought of them. And I did really want that, but I also hated the very first study we did. We did Waking the Dead, and I hated it because I truly believed that my heart was so evil and wicked. And here this study was saying, no, your heart is good, and you are a delight, and you have value. And it was just so hard for me to hear that it was easier to hate the message than to embrace it and to do the work to get well. But I dove in and started having some people who were giving me words of truth that were also hard words to hear. And sometimes the words that I heard felt like a slap in the face or a punch in the gut, but it was exactly what I needed to get my attention, because it was calling out my behavior, which was kind of ugly, because I was critical and complaining and playing this victim. And that was not true to how God saw me. So going on the journey and attending women's Bible studies and flying off to Colorado and going to captivating retreats and spending almost 2 years counseling and working on our marriage, but mostly working on our own hearts individually, my story just started to unfold into something amazing. So coming to adventure really felt like springtime, when the earth is being tilled and you're starting to plant those tubers, and you wouldn't think that something that ugly and dirty could turn into something so amazing. But when you add earth and air and water and nutrients, life comes out in most amazing, beautiful ways. And that's what began to happen in my life and grief. Then I just began to walk a little bit taller, and I began to ask for help, and also learning to fight off the enemy. Because one of the things about dahlias and a lot of beautiful things in nature is that there's so much pestilence dead set against those flowers surviving. And they want to eat away at the roots. If they're watered too much, they can get moldy. If there's not enough sun, they're not going to make it. And deer love to just consume them, and they trample easily as well. So just like anything in life, for all of us, our journeys are opposed, and they're challenging to get through sometimes because there's so many things set against us. But God knows who he made us to be, and that is exactly what he longs for us to become. So he gave me a scripture out of Isaiah 50 that says, I have given you the tongue of disciples, that you may encourage the weary one with a word. And when I read that, it just leapt off the page and into my heart. Because every time that I would find a new identity or something new revealed about who I was, someone here at Adventure would invite me to share it, whether it was up front singing or in front of a congregation or for women's group. I was invited to share, and I found what used to be terrifying, speaking in front of people, was actually something that God completely and totally intended me to do. And going from a broken place where, as a child, I was just told to be quiet, to shut up and go away, and that the truth was, no, I was meant to share. And I was my favorite thing to share on is identity and how God sees us. And so I'm very grateful for the opportunity to share that. And I pray that there's somebody who can find hope in their story and how they might be feeling, and to have the balance of hard work and rest in the truth of how God sees them, and that they would go on that journey themselves, because it is absolutely worth it.
That's great. Isn't that a cool story? And I think one of the powerful things she said was, sometimes it's easier to reject the message than it is to embrace it. It feels that way. But there's so much more life that we get to see kind of her story play out. And Janice did a great job of sharing her heart in that. So many people in the last 12 years have, in the body of Christ here, have found that journey and walked on that journey. And Janice would admit it's not over. She hasn't reached that fullness of living in who she is, but she's gained so much more ground in it. So whether you've been here for a long time and you maybe taken some journeys of restoration and heard God speak identity into you, the question is always, am I living in it? Am I walking with God in that? And am I discovering more and more and more as I walk with him? I want to present what that journey could look like for you here at Adventure. So there's different steps you can take, and these aren't presented in kind of an order that you have to, okay, I need to check all these boxes off. Like I said, this is a journey that we just continue to walk in with one another. Some of the things you can do is start right off with taking the weekly study this week. And the reason I say that is because it's actually designed to kind of get below the surface and kind of scratch in and ask more of yourself, where am I at with this point? What does God's word say about this? And where am I at in my understanding? What sources have I looked to kind of develop this identity that I believe about myself? And what's the next step for me? As you get towards the end of the week, it'll start to present, okay, where are you at? What have you discovered from this week? And where do I go from here to not be stuck where you're at? You should always be moving forward and understanding more and more of who you are and bringing that glory that God's put in you out. So I encourage you, on the back table, you can grab those studies. It looks like this is what I'm referring to whenever we talk about our weekly study. It follows the message but goes deeper and helps you kind of come to some action steps. Another thing that we have coming here this month in October is home groups we're going to be launching. And really the heart and desire and design of home groups is to create communities where we're drawing closer to each other. And these values that we talk about on Sunday morning are going to be in home groups. They're going to be at youth group. They're going to be in our men's and women's retreats when we do retreats. And everywhere we go as a family, church family, there are values, and they should come out. And so we want a place where there's a deeper community than what you can maybe experience just on a Sunday morning in these home groups, where we can be encouraging each other to be moving forward in that journey of living out of our identity. We have a discipleship program, which is a one-on-one meeting with somebody weekly to work through some material that we've developed to help you be established in what you believe as a Christian. What do I believe? Maybe you're not a Christian and you just want to understand, what does it mean to be a Christian? But it actually goes pretty deep. Even if you've been walking with God for a while, but you're like, I have some questions about some of the core values and beliefs that we have as Christians. And then woven throughout that is our value on unique identity and really God's story and what your role is in it. So that's a great step to take. If you feel like that's where you're at. And then we have a mentoring program where one-on-one you can meet with somebody who, like Janice, who's walked through that journey, walked through that heart journey. And we have men, you know, we can match with men and women with women to walk through a deeper study of what has your life brought that has maybe skewed your view of who you are. I said last week, the Spirit of God is able to restore somebody to their full identity in an instant. But what God understands is that our hearts need a journey often to walk there. And because he's a gentleman and because he's a good father, he knows that we need to take a journey of restoration to even be able to let that truly sink in and not just sit in our heads as head knowledge, but to actually live out of it. This is a journey that we found very effective, and some tools that we found that are really helpful for that are a couple books. This book's by John Eldridge. It's called Wild at Heart. And this is a great kind of opener to that journey and kind of gets right to the point. And then there's Captivating that John wrote with his wife, Stacy Eldridge. And this is for women to help you kind of evaluate. It has just some great questions and kind of talks through some subjects that help you get a context for what has my heart been through and what effect has that had on me and what's the truth. And the most effective way to go through that book is to read it, but then to work through the workbook with one other person. And so that's kind of that journey of mentoring that I talked about. There's books up here. If you don't have one of those or you're interested, please come get a book and start reading it. But talk to me so I can maybe at least present to you the opportunity to meet with somebody and work through that journey one-on-one. That's where the power of that comes from. And then lastly, being an active member of the body of Christ, that's our goal, is to be active members of the body of Christ. There's a question that we put to each of our cultural values, and I said for walking with God, it was, do your life and values, priorities, align with God's word? And for this one, it's this. Are you growing in your unique giftings through serving in the body of Christ? The reason we put that there is all these questions are they're not meant to be a checkbox that you can just go, okay, got that one, got that one, got that one. It's supposed to be a lifelong journey. And all of us have more ground to gain with God, walking with God, not in our own strength, in living out who we are. If you cut a hand off of a body, that hand is going to suffer, and the body is going to suffer. That's the picture that Paul gives us. Okay, so if you are a believer in Jesus, you're a part of the body of Christ. If you can't identify what part you are, then you're a body part laying on the floor, disconnected as far as moving and active in your place. And that's not a condemnation or a guilt or a weight. It's saying, wow, there's so much more. And all these different steps that you can take in that journey are moving you towards that. And so as far as being an active part of the body of Christ, in the next couple of weeks, BJ is going to be laying out a lot of different opportunities. And it's not just, here's things we need done on Sunday morning. It's in the body of Christ Sunday morning, but throughout the week, and maybe even in ministries outside of Adventure Church, how can we step into our giftings as we begin to discover them? Some of that comes from just stepping out into something and letting God reveal to you where your giftings are. So those are some offers to you. Worship team, we're going to close with a song. Encourage you to do the study this week. And you guys have a wonderful Sunday.